Saving Thousands is brought to you in part by RP Funding. RP Funding, Inc. is licensed and can offer loans in Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Kentucky, Louisiana, North Carolina, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Virginia, and West Virginia, and is also licensed by the Mississippi Department of Banking and Consumer Finance and by the Pennsylvania Department of Banking and Securities. Office is located at 500 Winterly Place, Suite 300, Maitland, Florida, 32751. Telephone 321-397-4420. RP Funding's nationwide mortgage licensing system ID number is 70168, Equal Housing Opportunity, and Robert Palmer's NMLS ID number is 76197.
We're saving thousands with Robert Palmer right here on the Saving Thousands Radio Network. Robert Palmer, founder of RP Funding, is an author, widely known radio and television personality, and public speaker dedicated to helping you take charge of your finances. Hey, Robert, when you created the Saving Thousands rules, you made rule number 7, owning real estate sooner than later, as one of the rules. What's the reasoning behind that?
If you look at the investment, you know, let's say a $200,000 house, right? And let's say all the home does is go up in value 3%, right? So the $200,000 house in a year is worth $206,000, 3% increase, not really that great. You know, it's kind of in line with inflation. But if you think about the fact, if you bought that home with 5% down, right? So you've only got $10,000 of your money invested in this house. And all of a sudden, your equity increases by $6,000. I mean, that's the equivalent of a 60% return on your $10,000. You know, when people ask me, where should they put their money first? You know, maybe that should be the way the rule is phrased. You know, and invest in a home before you invest in anything else. You know, I would put owning a home ahead of a 401k, ahead of an IRA. When you look at the leverage, again, so if you're going to pay $1,200 in rent anyway, if you're paying $1,200 toward a mortgage, then that's not costing you anything. But in our example, if that $200,000 home only goes up in value by 3%, you just made $6,000 on a $10,000 out-of-pocket investment. Because again, you've got to live somewhere. You're going to have that monthly payment to live regardless. But by owning versus renting, you now have the home increasing in value, which it will do over the long haul. Again, look at mine, 17 years, gone up in value over that time. It had the crash in the middle of it. You know, so even if something catastrophic happens, like the crash, over the long haul, home values, home prices are going to increase. The other great thing about right now is you're able to lock in these ridiculously low interest rates. And as interest rates go up, future home buyers will pay more than you, right? So if someone else buys a home, even if the values don't continue to increase, but interest rates increase, right? Now you're looking at a higher monthly payment. You're looking at higher rents. As interest rates increase, investors will want to make a better return, a better yield on their properties, because now other investments, bonds, everything else is paying higher. New people are paying higher mortgage payments so they can get higher rents. So rents will go up. But if you are a homeowner with a fixed rate mortgage, you are now locked in at the nice low interest rate. You're locked in at that payment. You don't have to worry about things increasing on you. And all these are the great benefits of home ownership. What I think keeps a lot of people from buying, Rob, is the fear. You know, it's this self-limiting doubt. We've talked a lot about this. I talk a lot about this in the marketing seminars I do. We talk about it here. You've got to believe in yourself. You've got to believe that you can do anything that another person can do, right? Look at, you know, something like 65% of people are homeowners. Well, the other people can do it too. They've just got to want it, right? And maybe you can't do it right now. Maybe you do have to wait 6 months or a year. But I come across very few people who can't buy a home in the next 6 months to a year, unless they have a foreclosure, right? That's really the only way that's going to prevent you from getting yourself to a position to buy a home in the next 6 to 12 months is a foreclosure, which you've already owned a home. But for people who have never owned a home before, I'm talking to first-time home buyers, people that are currently renting, right? You can get yourself in a position to buy a home very quickly. The number one reason we see that people hold off on buying a home, the reason people stay on the sidelines, is fear. They're afraid. Right, they're afraid of not being approved for the mortgage. They're afraid that the process is going to be more difficult than what they think it's going to be. They're afraid they can't afford the house, and they don't even try. And so my challenge to you out there listening right now is that don't be afraid. You know, give it a shot. Give yourself that chance. Call a mortgage company. You can call us at RP Funding. You can call somebody else. If you want to call us at RP Funding, the number is 855-773-8634. That's my mortgage company, RP Funding, NMLS number 70168. There's no cost, right? It doesn't take anything. There's nothing to be afraid of. No one's going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come on the radio here and announce that John Smith can't get a home loan, right? But what we can do is help point you in the right direction. So if you're one of these people that you realize you're not going to be a renter for life, don't procrastinate any longer. You know, financial ninjas don't procrastinate. Financial ninjas make good financial decisions. They make educated financial decisions. And a big one of those is our new rule number 7, which is to be a homeowner sooner than later.
So many people are surprised to find that they can own a home for about the same or even less than they pay in rent. Now, when you actually run the numbers, it makes sense. If you take the total of all those deposits involved in renting, oftentimes it equals more than the down payment on a house. And once you lock in your monthly payment on a house, it remains constant for up to 30 years. Now, we know rents are going to go up, right? A new home could be in your future, but you've got to call and apply. If there are problems, you can discuss ways to improve your credit, and then you can buy later. Robert, I've got some feedback I've been getting out there about the show and the social side on our show. There are so many people that say the information they get from here has literally saved them real money and kept them from getting into jams. And with the knowledge of credit and finance, they suddenly feel like they're in charge when it comes to their money.
You know, Robert, my goal with this show, and we've really mm-hmm. talked about this a lot, you know, what was the goal? And I will tell you, the goal has changed. You know, okay. I mean, in the beginning, I really just wanted to come out here and, I guess, expose everything that was wrong with our industry. Mm-hmm. And now it's really more about empowering consumers. And I really want to give people a framework and give people, you know, a good set of rules and guidelines that they can use to be smarter consumers and that they can make sure they always shop around and to not be afraid of credit. You know, I think that's one of the kind of missing messages is as I've exposed the secrets, a lot of people say, well, oh my God, this is so terrible. I should just stay away from credit. I should be afraid of credit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not it. And so, you know, I kind of want to tell a story personally of I personally use a lot of credit. You know, I use, and when I say use, I mean use, like I use them. You know, it's not because I need the credit. It's because I want to take advantage of the credit. You know, I want to take advantage of the bank because there are a lot of things you can do. And so to give you an example, you know, I got married last November.
Right.
And I got engaged a year ago in May. And so when I bought my wife's engagement ring, I financed it because they offered me 12 months, no interest.
Nothing wrong with that.
And so, you know, an engagement ring is a decent little purchase. I mean, what do they say, Rob? Are you supposed to spend like 2 months of your salary on an engagement ring?
I believe it's 2 months to 3 months.
Two to three months of your salary. All right. So we'll say, so the average person out there, you know, that's making $60,000, $70,000 a year is putting $15,000 to $20,000 into an engagement ring.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's, so if you take, so if you take that $15,000 or $20,000 and let's say you're afraid of credit, you know, there's people who say, you know what, I'm just not going to have any credit. I'm not going to borrow. Maybe you have bad credit, so it's forced you down that path. But let's say you're going to buy a $20,000 engagement ring, 3 months of your salary, and you make, you know, right at $70,000 a year or whatever, like as an example. Mm-hmm. So you take that $20,000, and if the jewelry company is willing to give you 12 months of no interest, all right, well, that means that $20,000 is free to you for the next 12 months,
mm-hmm.
right? So what I want people to think about is, so person A walks into that jewelry store and they take $20,000 out of their savings account and they buy the ring cash and they walk out and they're done, okay? Person B walks in, takes advantage of the $20,000, this is what I did, takes advantage of the credit from the store with 12 months of no interest,
mm-hmm.
and then they take that $20,000 from their savings account, Rob, and they invest it in the stock market, right? And I'm not saying get crazy. I'm not saying pick right. stocks. Like, just put into a nice, solid mutual fund. And the return you would have seen is going to be around $3,000 to $4,000 over the last 12 months. And so then at the end, it's time, all right, we got to pay off our thing. So we sell those $20,000 worth of stocks, and now the 12 months of interest free is up, so we want to pay this thing off.
Mm-hmm.
But there was an opportunity to make money there. And if you're afraid of credit, you know, if you take up a mantra in life that you're never going to use credit, you can't take advantage of those types of opportunities. Here was an opportunity to make $2,000 or $3,000, maybe $4,000, depending on which stocks you invested in, which mutual funds you picked. The market did really great over the last 12 months.
Sure did.
I mean, it did. You know, it was a great time. And so having that $20,000 for an engagement ring interest-free meant that $20,000 was now freed up to do something else. But to take advantage of these types of situations, you've got to have good credit. You've got to understand credit. You've got to know how the system works. And this is what I want to empower people to do. This is what I want to teach our listeners how to do so they can identify these types of opportunities. identify the opportunities where credit is a good idea. Not to be afraid of it. You know, most of RP Funding's bills I put on my American Express. And, I mean, we obviously spend a lot more than the average person would because a lot of our advertising, a lot of our bills go on the American Express. But, I mean, any small business owner, anyone in their life, you can build up pretty quick points, you know, and those points turn into a nice vacation at the end of the
year. Sure do.
So just by you know, cruises, you know, Rob, you're a big cruiser.
I do.
And you can definitely, you can get a couple free cruises a year by using credit correctly.
That's right.
You know, get the points, pay the thing off. And so that's really what I'm here to do. I want to teach people how to utilize leverage and utilize credit because in a lot of ways, credit is what built this country. You know, if you look at why we grew as fast as we did, and you look at some other countries and how they do not grow as quickly, a lot of it has to do with the credit mentality. And while the financial services industries have taken advantage of this and they've turned it into a bad thing and they're so bent on taking advantage of people, if we as consumers are educated enough and strong enough and dedicated enough and committed enough to a plan to use credit correctly, we can really take advantage of the system and we can pick up a lot of nice perks and a lot of opportunities to make money, a lot of opportunities to save money while using credit to our benefit instead of letting the big credit companies use credit to their benefit at our expense.
How can you get even more empowered? Well, first, don't miss our shows every week and visit savingthousands.com. You'll pick up on new articles and audio features about your money, and the site is updated every few days.
Hey, Robert, we've got a listener who says that they've been offered a deal from a company, I see you grinning, that will set them up on twice monthly payments on their mortgage to make things easier and to pay off their house faster. Now, the company wants $500 to do this. What are your thoughts on the biweekly payment plan?
It really is a cool concept, right? Because most people budget based on their paycheck. And so if you do get paid 26 times a year instead of 24 because you're biweekly, it's a cool little kind of, I'll call it a life hack. You know, it's a cool little hack where you can say, you know what, I'm gonna take my mortgage payments $1,000. I'm gonna take $500 out of every paycheck, and I'm gonna do that 26 times a year instead of 24, which ends up being 13 payments. And yes, you will pay your mortgage off faster, but you don't have to have anyone help you do that. See, people will call us and say, oh, does RP Funding offer biweekly mortgage? But no, we don't have to. Anybody can pay. You could pay whenever you want as long as it's before the payment date, right?
Right.
So you could pay whenever you want as long as it's early. And so that's where I'm telling you, make that extra payment first, get a month ahead, because you don't want to get hit with a late fee because the time. Because what will happen is if you're second, so let's say that, you know, the first payday for you is on the 2nd, and then the second payday would be 14 days later on the 16th. Well, if you make the second half of your payment on the 16th, it's after the 15th. So you would be paid a late fee because you would not have paid the entire thing by the 15th, which is the requirement. This is why we make one extra payment up front. But that's it. And that one extra payment you make is your money because it's going to your balance and your interest. So that's my advice. So the CFPB is suing these guys for a significant sum of significant amount of money. I don't know off the top of my head. But, you know, and now they're coming back and claiming that, you know, some of their earliest adopters did save money. Well, obviously they saved money. They paid their mortgage off faster. The real question is, why do they need to pay fees to a company to do biweekly payments? So again, anyway, I'm going to, producer Dave, remind me, we're going to post a quick little tutorial on biweekly payments on savingthousands.com after the show today. I'll put all five steps right there for you.
Pretty easy.
Step one, make extra payments. Step two, make half payment every time you get paid. Step three, pay off mortgage faster. Three steps, Dave.
Write pretty those darn down. Easy.
Three steps. You know, and that's totally free, Rob. No cost for those three steps.
You're not going to charge anything? No fees?
Well, I mean, if you guys want to mail me in a check.
I mean, we're back to no fees.
Mail me a check for a couple $1,000 for that piece of advice.
I was with you the day that you first introduced that agency, and I remember how charged up you were about it. And I was thinking, you mean all these years we've never had anybody looking after us, you know, the consumer? But no other financial guys on the radio were cheering it on, and nobody else was either. Credit card companies weren't, you know, the pay here, payday long people certainly weren't. You know, there was nobody in the industry cheering it on except you. And see, you were saying we need to protect the consumer.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, if you do what's right for the consumer, you're cool with it. If you're out there taking advantage of consumers, you're probably a little scared.
Yep.
And so again, at the Mortgage Bankers Conference I just got back from, there's a lot of people that were nervous, you know, that they're nervous about this. They don't like the idea of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. They want it back to the old way.
Yeah, I'm personally a fan. And there were a lot of CFPB, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau people there running around the conference. I'm a fan. I like what they're doing. I think it's good. I think things like this need to come to light. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, who would have punished PayPal? You know, again, PayPal admitted, like, yeah, we screwed up. You know, we're going to pay the $25 million. Who would have made that happen before? And that's the big problem. You know, so I think it's a good thing. I think we need consumer protections. I think the number one protection is us being smarter, right, and us being educated and us shopping around, which is what this radio show is all about. You know, rule number one, shop around. That's the biggest thing I can teach you here is to shop around. And then two, really know your numbers. I mean, all this fits mm-hmm. in together. And if you do these things, you really can protect yourself. So the other cool thing we've got going on, Rob, is so I've got the team over at RP Digital doing some research for me. So I want to find out. I talk a lot about credit cards and investments, and then a lot of people text and ask, they want details. And so we're actually compiling all this data. And so I have the team over at RP Digital calling every local bank, every local credit union, every big bank, and we're getting the information I need to do an analysis. And then I'm going to go online to savingthousands.com, and I'm going to post some kind of tutorials or post some best ofs, right? So what's the best credit card if you're 18 and about to go to college? What's the best credit card if you're newlyweds? What's the best credit card for someone with bad credit? What's the best secured credit card out there? You know, what's the best way to consolidate student loans? We're going to do all this research and put this out there at Saving Thousands to make it easier for people to shop around. I'm going to do the legwork for you, right? So we're going to call. And one of the key things that I'm focusing on that a lot of these online shopping portals do not is what is the grace period, right? Because we talked about as financial ninjas how we can take advantage of the credit card companies if we time our purchases correctly. Because you've got the 30 days of the billing cycle that have to roll by, which are interest-free. And then you've got a grace period, which can be 20 days, 25 days, 28 days, whatever, 30 days in some cases that roll by. And so you've got up to 60 days that you don't pay any interest on their money. Now that's a win. You know, that's something we can use to our advantage as financial ninjas. And so we are calling to find out what the grace periods are, because one of the things I want to make our listeners aware of are what cards have the longest grace periods. Mm-hmm. You know, because if we're going to really take advantage of this, if we're going to really use their money for free and not pay anything, we need the longest grace period possible. So one of the things I'm really less concerned with in most cases is the annual percentage rate, the APR. Because if we're doing things correctly, if we're acting like financial ninjas, we're never going to pay interest anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? I could take a credit card with a 35% interest rate, because as long as I always pay it off by the grace period, I pay zero.
Take advantage of that credit card grace period. Now, that's something most people don't do. And when they don't do it, they get behind. Because when the interest and the late fees do kick in, you are digging a much bigger hole. Sometimes it helps to keep all of your payment dates on a calendar and stick to it. Then you can take advantage of the credit card grace period, but still, you won't pay extra. Well, Robert, the calls keep coming in and the questions keep coming in, and that's why we're here every single week. So what's the next thing we can clear up for the folks?
We've got do you do construction perm loans? If not, any recommendations? So we do not offer construction perm loans. It's just, again, this is something where if I can't be competitive on the loan, I'm not going to do it. And the construction loan, because of the way, it basically what happens is if you're borrowing money at a short-term adjustable interest rate, the banks can usually do a better job than we can, because they can borrow money very cheaply from the Fed at overnight rates. They can't use that cheap overnight money to make a 30-year fixed rate mortgage. And that's why we're able to be so much more competitive on a 30-year fixed rate mortgage, a 15-year fixed rate mortgage. But in the case of a construction loan, because the construction period is usually only 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, the banks are able to use that short-term interest borrowing ability they have to do a much better job, much more affordable job than we could. I'm personally a fan of a Florida Community Bank for those. If I was going to build a house, that's probably who I would go through. If you're in the Polk County area, mid-Florida, Credit Union does a great job on construction loans. I really would look to a credit union or a bank directly for those. An independent mortgage company like us is never going to be as competitive on a construction perm loan as going directly to a bank. Complete opposite of a 30-year mortgage or a 15-year mortgage, but that's the reality on a construction perm, and that's why we do not offer construction perm loans at RP Funding. Let's see. Next up, a 386 area code. How many years do I have to wait for a conventional loan after a bankruptcy? So this is going to be between 2 and 4 years, depending on the type of extenuating circumstances you have. Hopefully there were no properties or foreclosures included in that bankruptcy. So we can take a look at that in 2 to 4 years, depending on extenuating circumstances and what your reasons were for filing the bankruptcy. Let's see. 813 area code here. I'm planning on getting a 3.45% credit card. I have around $6,000 in credit card debt. Planning on transferring all of that credit card since the other cards I have are 10 to 20% interest. Is this a good idea? So first off, I would tell you that you can get a 0% interest card. So the 3.45, I mean, with $6,000 in debt, if you're able to get an 18-month 0% card, I would recommend doing that over the 3.45% interest rate card you're talking about here. You also have to take a look at any balance transfer fees that they're going to charge you. A lot of banks will charge you a 3% one-time balance transfer fee, which then even increases the cost even more. I know Chase does have a card right now called a Slate card that has 0% interest for, I think it's 15 or 18 months. You can check out the fine print at Chase. And then they do not charge that balance transfer fee for the first 60 days. So if you take out one of those cards and immediately make the transfers, you're going to avoid that 3% balance transfer fee, which is very helpful. Let's see, 727 area code. Do you work with real estate investors? Yeah, we do investment property loans. You know, we're going to require 25% down in most cases if you're buying an investment property. You may be talking more about like rehab loans or flipping loans. That's not something we get into. The idea here is, maybe those of you who don't know, sometimes real estate investors will get what they call a hard money loan, which is where they're not going off of their credit or income. It's completely based on the equity in the property. They're usually at very, very high interest rates with very, very high fees. But the nice thing is they will give you money toward doing repairs on the property. So you can go buy a property that's in rough condition, and then they'll give you the money toward repairing it and fixing it up. But they charge very high interest rates for these. We do not offer those loans, but we do offer traditional investment property refinance and purchase. We'll go up to 10 finance properties per consumer. A lot of banks stop at 4. But again, we are 20 to 25% down, and ours is more of a, if you're looking to buy investment real estate to hold it for a long time, that's where we really strive and do a good job. If you're just looking to pick up properties and repair them and flip them, there's better financing options out there for that. Another text here, 407 area code. In May, I bought a short sale home, and I have MI on the mortgage. That's mortgage insurance. I have over 35% equity the day I closed. When can I get MI off the note? So depending on the type of loan you have, it's between 2 and 4 years minimum. And then if you have an FHA loan, you're looking at lifetime of mortgage insurance. Now, the nice thing is, because, again, we're doing the no closing cost refis right now, even if you kept your interest rate the same as what you have, but you're able to eliminate the mortgage insurance and you don't pay any closing costs for it, it can make a lot of sense financially. So we'd love to take a look at that for you and see if maybe we can get you the same rate. Depending on when you bought the home, rates may have been lower. In May, though, again, right now, probably not. So you may be able to get into a similar rate with no closing costs and drop that mortgage insurance. That's something we could take a look at for you. What is an IRRL loan? So this is a VA interest rate reduction refinance loan, IRRRL, interest rate reduction refinance loan. It's a VA product that allows you to refinance. In most cases, no matter if you're upside down, if you have equity, there's no appraisal needed. Now, some banks do require an appraisal. They don't want to make IRRLs to people that are upside down. We don't have that overlay. Again, this is one of those differences where certain banks will put overlays in place, but because we can securitize loans directly through Ginnie Mae, Fannie Mae, and Freddie Mac, we're able to do this. So because VA does not require any certain loan to value, because VA will allow you to refinance even if you are upside down, we follow that as well. So you can get an interest rate reduction refinance loan without an appraisal, and even if you're upside down. It's a great product for veterans for existing VA loans. 407 area code here. Hi, Robert. I just completed a refinance with you, and it has been the smoothest real estate transaction I've ever done to date. Thank you very much. Question for you. Have investment home that I will let my parents live in. Can I charge a token rent $100 to $200 with lease to keep rental home tax deductions? I would talk to your CPA about this. I will tell you, though, I have a home in Lakeland that I own that I let my mother live in, and I'm able to write that off on my taxes. And so I definitely have a conversation with your CPA about it. I'm not a tax advisor, but I know from my personal experience that I'm able to do it. So there's got to be a way that you can do it as well. My CPA allows me to take the rental home deduction on that, letting my mother live there. So definitely something you should be able to do there, but talk to your CPA about it.
Well, Robert, we're up against a hard break, so we're going to have to cut it short right here. But we'll be back in a few minutes, everybody, as you save thousands with Robert Palmer.